usually we have a lot of snacks.
I'm going to go ahead and start the webinar. We had a couple of people that requested links that may join us as attendees, and they can't join until I get her fired up. So we can go, and then we'll wait till 7, and we'll see if anyone jumps in.
7?
Or 6.
Thank you.
Kim emailed and said she would be getting here a little bit late because of work.
Let's see who we got here. Hey, there's Kyle. Hi, Kyle. Hi, guys.
Hey, everyone.
How is everybody?
Present.
Good. Did you have a nice birthday?
Yeah. Pretty good birthday. Thank you. Beginning to cost a lot like Christmas.
New hat?
No, actually, it's not new at all. It's about 4 or 5 years old.
Well, it's ugly, so. I went to Oregon State, so I have to say that.
I'll pretend I didn't wear that. I didn't hear that. My son just graduated from Oregon State. So, yeah. The way I say it is I want Oregon State to be second place in everything. So.
Yeah, I know. I know. And we usually, that would be a reach, usually.
You know, I tell folks, Oregon going in, there's no wrong way to do it. Some people can hate one and love the other, hate both, you know, whatever. Everybody has their own. That's all good. They're both our schools.
Well, and all of the stuff that happens with Oregon State, I call that economic development.
There you go. No, I think I went to more baseball Beaver games than Duck games. So
that's actually one thing. That and women's gymnastics are two things they do really well.
Yes, and then I have some kids that I used to coach that played for the Beavers and football and baseball. So there's a connection. I'm glad they're doing. They did well. I'm not glad they beat us, but it's okay. This was the year to do it, I guess. The pandemic.
I mean, why not?
Yeah, 2020. What we do. All right, it's 6:01. We have quorum. Tracy, are you good to go? Okay. And council, just be handy with that mute, unmute thing. And with that, we will go ahead and get started. I would like to call to order the Kaiser City Council. It is Monday, December 14th, 2020. And ask our city recorder to please call roll.
Mayor Clark?
Here.
Council President Freeman?
She emailed that she will be arriving shortly.
Councilor Herrera?
Here.
Councilor Reed? I see. Councilor Kohler?
I am here.
All right, I am here.
That's okay, I saw you. And Councilor, yeah. Thank you.
Here.
Thanks.
I'm here.
Oh, Councilor Parsons, sorry.
That's okay. I'm going to be gone soon, then you'll not remember.
but you're still here.
Oh. Anyway, thank you.
We're very thankful. So tonight, we are going to review the council goals from this past biennium. And I wanted our councilors-elect, Kyle Duran and Ross Day, to be in on this conversation because we want to make sure we have a smooth handoff from one council biennium to the next. Gives them a chance to ask us questions about what we've been working on and to understand kind of the transition into the biennium coming up. In January, February, we will be establishing the new council goals and very likely a work plan, and I'll get into that in a minute, that we will be then using as our guidelines for 21 and 22. So with that, I'd like to turn it over to our city manager who has provided the goal review in our packet and kind of walk us through it. And then we're gonna run this as we go through each part. Well, we can pause, have a little conversation if we've got questions or comments as we work through each of these goals. City manager, take it away.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. And I'll just invite any department directors to jump in and provide color because I'm going to go through it fairly quick. I have some comments sort of in general. Some of these goals, as we kind of worked through them, I've realized are hard to actually classify as goals because they're not things that you're ever going to complete. So for instance, community outreach, I don't believe that there's ever going to be a time when we have completed community outreach and we just say, you know what, we're done. We've talked to everybody. We don't have to talk to them again. So that will be an ongoing work item. And that's where the mayor and I talked a little bit about maybe developing a work plan to supplement the goals, because goals should really be things ultimately that can be done, measured, and finished in a certain amount of time, a certain time period, versus things that really are what you kind of want to continue working on indefinitely. The youth council program is similar. I think that's something we're always going to be working on, to try to get youth engagement into various programs and different committees. We'll never stop doing that, I don't believe. And so that really is probably also another matter for an ongoing work program. But for those that we can talk about that were sort of definable and able to be completed, the charter review, done. So City Councilor Johnson did the yeoman's work on that one, and his trusty assistant, Tammy, and the Charter Review Committee, and put that process together. And even in the middle of it running into a global pandemic, we're still able to sort of change our approach on it, and got a little bit less public outreach because of that than we were hoping, or outreach in a different way, as opposed to taking it out to various community groups and having open houses, we couldn't do that any longer. But regardless, I think it got, you know, it got a good amount of attention to it and was approved by the voters. So we were, we as a community, I think we're very successful in the outcome of the charter review. So any questions about that? Councilor Herrera.
As far as outreach goes, I know that we didn't have any like per se organized, but I know that a couple of us, several of us did a lot of other stuff. I mean, like I had signs made and I reached out to two, three community groups, including the Catholic Spanish class and I had a Spanish group. And I, so a lot of us, not only me, but I know Elizabeth did some too, and so did Marlene. And we did lots of outreach of our own sort of because of the pandemic. So I wanted to make sure that you guys knew that because I know I wasn't the only one that was doing that on the outside.
Right. Yeah, I knew that a lot of that happened. I knew that some of that happened, you know, in terms of the way I look at it, the pieces that we were hoping formally to do in terms of outreach, like open houses and whatnot, we had to change course. But, and I appreciate the efforts the council got out into the community and talked about that. That was an important issue.
And also, if I may, Chris, sure. You know, all the candidates who were running, they were all actually promoting the same thing. So we were all supporting that. I know that Councilor-elect Bay and Councilor-elect Turan were also pushing that on their own. So I think it was a good effort by everybody.
I agree.
Thank you.
Community outreach, if we can move on, anyone ready to move on?
So community just one thing I want to tag up on Councilor Smith here. We participated, as many of us did, on some of the workshops at the League of Oregon Cities Conference, and we got some great inspiration from some of the attendees. Newport in particular has been doing some fabulous stuff, a lot of which had to do with community events, which this year that was a no-go. But it's something that as we start talking about a work plan for 21 and 22, that we can then brainstorm going forward about how that's going to be, we can implement, we can try different things that, and work with community partners in putting that together. So, you know, we keep putting it into our council goals, but I think the city manager is right. If we work this into a work plan where we can have do certain events, certain types of outreach, learn from them and continue to adapt, we can make continuous improvement. But as far as a council goal, it's not a check that box. We talked to everybody in the city, we're good. On the charter review and then the charter campaign, yes, I was very gratified and just so pleased that every single counselor and every single council candidate endorsed it. And I thought that was very powerful that the committee did a great job and they got a lot of great input. And even with a global pandemic, we were able to have unanimity on a very key piece for the people of Kaiser and passed it with a nice margin. So that was, under most circumstances, that was going to be a lot of work. Under 2020 circumstances, it took real adaptation. And I was really pleased to see that got completed. I'm looking at the goal itself originally was about, you know, can we do it in May? And it's like, well, that ain't going to happen. But I think having it in November was better because you generally have a better turnout in November. Mm-hmm. And so I think we probably got a higher voter participation by having it be on the November ballot. And that's a good thing.
Plus, people were paying attention to the ballot because of everything else happening in the world this time. So, I mean, I think people were really clued in. They were going to vote one way or the other. And so, you know, a lot of people often will sit out an election if it's not critical to them. This one was critical to everybody. So I agree. I think we got a lot of voter participation that we wouldn't have gotten at other times. So community outreach is another one of those where I think that we're going to have to continue to adapt. It's just super hard. It's super hard for us because we have various communities in our city, you know, all of which need to be communicated with and outreached to differently. Some we may not know how to outreach really well to them, and we'll learn that over time. And you know, we're going to fail. and we're going to have to keep picking ourselves up and keep moving forward. And there are some things that I thought happened really well this year because of COVID that wouldn't have happened as quickly or as thoroughly as they did otherwise. And that is, you know, one of those is the massive outreach that we put together to get our meetings broadcast out into the community, widespread, multiple languages, with live opportunity for Q&A in multiple languages. You know, I mean, that was a great effort, and I'm really proud of that. That's something that we really spearheaded at the department head level, and Tim did a lot of work on that and working with our TV folks, and it was important to me, and I pushed that. And so I was really happy with how that came about. And I don't know that we would have gone to the same lengths as quickly as we did if COVID had not hit. And so maybe that's, you know, one little piece that we can take away as a positive from this pandemic, is that it forced us to do some things and become comfortable in some areas that we wouldn't have naturally without some sort, something pushing us from behind, making that happen. So.
Let's point to one in particular. Not only did we learn how to, and look at all of you, we all look so, we're all such Zoomies now. I'm looking at you on my screen. Budget. We did a 14 committee member budget meeting online. And that was no small undertaking. Yes, we had some significant connection issues for Councilor Herrera and Councilor Reed. And we've had to work through that as well, along with our service providers to try to up our bandwidth. But we pulled off, and we had the highest viewership of our budget meetings ever. That's huge.
Right. And we also had, according to the statistics, a fair number of Spanish speakers watching our budget, which was great. You know, I mean, because that's an awesome way for people to figure out what priorities we're spending resources on in the next year. And so that was a great outreach effort. So, you know, I was not a huge supporter of spending $60,000 initially was the budget price tag for our reader board out front. I was able to swallow $30,000 a little better by the time we actually put it into place and the cost had come down. But that's been a good tool for us also. And we're able to put messaging out on that in multiple languages. And I think the more we make an effort of communicating with people in their language, I mean, most Spanish speakers speak English also, but it's a matter of honoring them to speak in their language to them, I think. And that's important that we continue trying to do that. So anyway, I think we've made some good progress, and that's just something we're not gonna ever finish. We're gonna have to keep moving forward on that. So, any questions about community outreach, Councilor Herrera?
People want to share that we did this year that you would like to highlight as a win or something for us to focus to work on next year.
And Councilor Herrera had his hand up.
Okay, Councilor Herrera.
I just want to say that to me, that was one of our biggest accomplishments. One of the things that I've learned over the years as far as reaching out to other communities or other cultures is that it takes patience and persistence. I mean, the first meeting I had with the Latinos in representing the city, there was three people there. And when the last one, we had like 48 people. So it's a process, and I appreciate everybody's input and your dedication to doing this. One of the things I learned in my classes with Naleo is that government, English is not the only language of government. Government has to be for the people that pay the taxes, and there's folks in other language. And in our community, it's not, Spanish is probably the prevalent one, but just the fact that you're doing that is a huge thing, because folks feel like they're part of the community. And I praise everybody for that. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go to Councilor-elect Day, and then I'll go to Councilor Reed.
What about sign language?
We haven't done sign language, although it is available on YouTube Live. So you can click and get sign language interpretation on YouTube. So that's my understanding.
Okay, but that, no, my point is for instance, if I'm a hearing impaired and I go to a city council meeting in person, what about ASL at the city council meeting? YouTube Live doesn't do me any good if I want to participate.
Right, and we do provide. And Shannon, you can jump in here in a sec, but we do provide. So they have to call us or let us know in advance, and we can provide interpretation services for them, which we have done in various meetings. Counselor Johnson,
that's exactly what I was going to say, and we have done that. And I can't remember. It's 48 hours notice or whatever, and we've done that and provided sign language for folks.
Yep. And we do have a couple of folks in the organization who are fluent in ASL who occasionally will provide interpreting services if we need it kind of on the fly. So over in the police department. But that is an area that, you know, we're not doing as well in as say Spanish speaking outreach. So. Any other questions? Councilor Reed.
Thank you. What I'm going to say is not necessarily related to these tasks, but it is definitely related to community engagement, and that is the efforts of a lot of our staff groups, work groups, to reach out and get community input. I'm thinking specifically of the Stormwater Advisory Committee, and I've been part of that for all 4 years, and again, kind of expanding our view of, this is a biennium and not just 2020. So I just wanted to bring in some other things that we've done. We have a new permit through DEQ, through the Stormwater Advisory, the Stormwater Advisory Group. And that required a whole lot of community outreach and education, and they're different publics, but they do a really good job with that. And we also do a great job with our public works and fire open house that we've had. And, those are excellent community engagement events, as well as the Soggy Day in the Park and so forth. So I just wanted to mention that there are lots of other great things going on related to this, even though they're not specifically oriented to these particular tasks.
And we'll get better and better at it and over time. So that's for sure. Actually one that I didn't bring up, but was really kind of a Herculean effort. I'm going to pick on Shane for a second here, in trying to get money out the door to community members who needed it and businesses that needed it. Not as easy as just saying, hey, here's a bunch of free money and put it in, throw it out of the back of an airplane as you fly over city, which was on a budget cover 1 year, actually, Wally throwing bags of money out the back of an airplane. Susan showed me that and it was funny, but we haven't used it since. So Shane and his staff did just a great job of connecting and making sure as many people in our community as possibly could qualify were able to take advantage of the resources made to us through the state for COVID relief. And that's hard. And that was a huge outreach effort. So good job, Shane. Anything else on outreach before we move on? Councilor Freeman.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you, everyone. Madam Mayor, I did text you, so I hope you got my text that I was running late, so I apologize that. Lovely attorneys at work. I can say that since we have two on Zoom tonight, right? Just a little bit on community outreach. The reader board is phenomenal to see it in other languages going down Shemawa. It took us a little longer to get the reader board up, but I'm grateful that it's there. And the other thing is I've had the opportunity to speak to one of our Spanish interpreters who was coming to City Hall, and he was so excited to be able to provide those services to our Spanish-speaking community. And so I just think it speaks highly of when our interpreters get excited, then we have a city council meeting, and he has the pleasure of interpreting to the community is just wonderful as well. And I did want to comment on Ross's comments about hearing impaired. So Ross, we did have a presentation within the last year from I'm going to say Mr. Robertson because I can never remember his first name. I remember his dad's name more. But that was one of my questions as well. And so if you are on channel 23, they can use the closed caption. So at least they can see the words. It's not 100%. Right, because counselor kept coming up as cancer, so cancer Freeman or whatever, and so you know, could be right, it could be, but it is a start, and I would hope, and I know Counselor Kohler handed out some cards, and please, Chief Teague is very aware of our deaf and hard of hearing community and the cards for outreach that the police officers hand out as well, but. I would just say that's another area that potentially we could probably use some more assistance and outreach for. And then the other thing I think most people have heard is we need to get outside of our lovely city hall and do outreach. And I know that takes time. And I know it always makes Shannon nervous when we take meetings outside of city hall. But it really is, I think, another way to do community outreach. And maybe it is some of those sessions that Councillor Reed talked about, you know, the stormwater and DEQ and starting with a specific issue and maybe going out that way. But I think to get more community is we need to look outside of our city hall for involvement. Thank you.
Very much. Okay.
Okay. Parks Master Plan update. And I'll let Bill jump in here in a second, but the short news is it has begun and will wrap up in April, yes?
That's the schedule, yes, April 30.
So that one we're gonna call complete because we have initiated the process and we will end up with a revamped Parks Master Plan and that will give us some good guidance into the next 20 years.
Fabulous.
Questions about that?
So on adoption, are we going to do additional outreach or is that what the survey is about and the interviews?
There will be additional outreach through the consultant reaching out to stakeholders, you know, the youth sports groups, neighborhood associations directly, school district personnel. I think they're planning on talking to the Chariots a little bit as well. But that's the survey is just part of the overall outreach to get input on the master plan.
Okay.
And I mentioned at the Parks Board the other night when the consultant was there, if we feel not just staff, but the consultant and the Parks Board for that matter, feel that we're not getting enough input because of COVID or whatever. I know everybody, there was some concerns at the Parks Board about not being able to have in-person meetings for this. And I understand that. Obviously we're doing the best we can to get input. If for some reason we're going along and we just don't feel like we've gotten meaningful input, then we'll have to extend the deadline for the master plan so we can get that input. But for now, the deadline for completion is April 30.
And Bill, is the survey in multiple languages?
It is available both in Spanish and English, yes.
Okay, good. Portuguese, no?
No, I don't think so. I can make that happen if I need to.
That's okay.
My one question would be, is there a group or a demographic that's not at the table using this format that we are using right now and we can't do in person, we can't do the large events, we are so limited, but that didn't stop the charter. What can we do? And maybe this is food for thought over the next couple, 3 weeks. Counselors, please send your input to Bill if you have a wonderful way for our consultant to reach another group that may not have been engaged in this process. That will be really important to make sure we hit as broad a swath of the people in our town as possible. But this is going to be extra hard this year. Neighbors associations, of course, but they're on hiatus until January. Maybe HOAs, if they're willing to put something out in their newsletters. But anyway, if you would send your ideas to Bill, that would be really helpful. We want to make sure that we get this as broad as possible.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Mayor. I agree. And anything, contact information, ideas, send it to me. I'll forward it to the consultants, and they can reach out and see if they can get that feedback.
Okay. Is there anything possibly on KMUZ or on Spanish radio? Maybe a PSA?
It's not a bad idea.
Yeah, possible.
Okay. So radio is very, very important. Councilor Ferreira.
Madam Mayor, you know Arturo, don't you, Sorbiente?
Yeah.
He would be the guy, the contact for that, because, you know, there's a lot of listeners from Kaiser. I don't know how to work that up. And Arturo would be a contact for that. Good guy.
Yeah, I think I have his email somewhere. So let me make a note to get that to you, Bill.
Okay.
Thank
you.
Love it.
All right. Moving on to city staffing levels. And we did have that council work session. We've talked about this internally, you know, various areas that we think we could use some help. And basically, it's come down to in evaluating our parks department. I think the parks master plan and what that ends up looking like will determine a bit of that. But I think we're pretty well staffed in that area now, better than the community has ever been. As long as we don't take on recreation as part of that equation, you know, if we're just talking parks, I think we're pretty good. Police, we've already discussed that the fee is starting to degrade some because costs are escalating beyond the fee's ability to keep up. So at some point, we're going to need to talk about that. But, you know, police is one of those areas that what you're really purchasing are sort of packets of feel safe for the community, and the community needs to determine what level of policing it wants to purchase in order to feel like the community is safe. And, you know, statistically speaking, I hate to say it, I think Chief would probably agree with me, we could add 1,000 more police officers, and statistically speaking, the chance of any one of them being where crime is going to happen right at that moment is pretty limited. But so much of it is about being able to just gain a little bit of proactivity, get out there, communicate with the citizens, and build some relationships that you can't do when you're understaffed. So, you know, if we can maintain that 4 or 5 officer margin that the fee purchased us, I think we're pretty good there. In the planning department, we're going to make some changes we've talked about in relation to planning services. One area we'd like to add is additional code enforcement. And council talked about that. And then the only other position that we would like to think about at some point is some sort of community outreach person, which we've talked about, that would help us get out and outreach into those various communities within our city. I'll provide some training internally, potentially about some DEI matters and really start, you know, adding that level of perspective to our management team. So that's another position. We're gonna cost that one out and bring it through the budget process, and hopefully PERS doesn't eat our cash reserves up to the point where we can't afford to do something. So that's the hope. But that's where we at with current city staffing levels. I'm constantly amazed at how much we are able to do and the level of service we actually are bringing to the community with people that we have. And that just speaks to the quality of people. So.
Well, and the flexibility. Councilor-elect Day, I saw your hand go up.
Thank you, I appreciate it. Chris, on the 2019-2021 City Council goals,
mm-hmm.
Worksheet that we got, it says that 50% with respect to the city staffing and levels of service, that 50% of the goal is complete to date.
Yeah, and I think that's probably accurate. We've analyzed our needs, and council has weighed in on the kinds of things that they would like to see. The next piece would be actually implementing any changes that need to be implemented, budgeting it, hiring it, putting it into play. So that's just my estimation of where we are in that goal completion.
Okay, and I hate to sound nitpicky, but if you add up the percentages that you've included there, it adds up to 90% now.
Yeah, my error.
I'm always a little hesitant to criticize or point out someone's math error, because their old joke about lawyers is Shannon will tell you, we went to law school because we can't do math. So
yeah, no, sometimes when I update that spreadsheet, I forget to change that column. So I apologize for that.
No problem.
Good catch.
No problem. I just wanted to make sure I wasn't missing something.
No.
And this is a note for Tracy as and also for the continuing counselors, that this will be a work session next year as well, because as we continue to evolve, I thought it was extremely helpful to have an in-depth conversation about staffing and resources. One of the things that we had identified as a need was the human resources information system. It's done. We got it. Right. But don't know what we're aiming for if we haven't really discussed. And I know staff does this on a very regular basis, but involving us as the council, it helps us make sure we're all on the same page, right, as far as what our staffing and resources needs are. And then Chris and the department heads can hear from us what we are seeing in terms of results and questions. So I thought it was a really helpful process. And so that's going to be on my list of work sessions to do that again in 21.
Okay. So the other goal that we had, and I'm going to let Shane jump in here, is the urban growth boundary. And I always hesitate to have this as a short-term goal because we've been working on it before I got here, and I've been with the city now for 20 years, and it's still a short-term goal. So, you know, I think we're getting closer to having the data and the studies done to the level where we can dish it up to the council and say, all right, this is everything. Time for some policy direction, which will then kick off the next piece, which is going out and doing a community outreach and gathering input on what the community wants to see in terms of a UGB. So, Shane, where do you think we are?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, it's, I think I've worked here for 23 years and the UGB has been discussed the entire time I've worked here as well. I think it's difficult. I think obviously, you know, we've come to council over the last couple of years. We've done a lot of planning work that clearly Nate had been doing for a long time prior to the last 6 months of me serving in an interim capacity. And, you know, I think it's difficult because when we look at long range planning, it is just that, it is long range. And so urban growth boundary expansions and talks of housing needs analysis, buildable lands inventories, all of that is looking at, you know, 20-year planning period. I was hopeful, and I used to tease Nate and I said, before you retire, you need to get an answer, like a final answer. What are we doing? Clearly, I don't know how easily we're ever going to really arrive to that answer, but I think that what we've accomplished is quite a bit of work in that we did update our housing needs analysis and buildable lands inventory in June of 2019. That study came out. We were unable to adopt it at that time because we do show a deficit of available land in the planning horizon. But if you remember, running right alongside that was our Kaiser revitalization plan with our River Cherry Overlay District, which is looking at our commercial core and trying to create some additional capacity. And really it's more about removing barriers than truly creating capacity. But I think that was a really, you know, it was a big project, about 2 years of time with a significant outreach effort. And we really did get a better indicator of where the community stands on what they want to see in Kaiser. But it's tough because this goes all the way back to, you know, 2009 when we did the visioning project. And so it gets at a point where I think we have quite a bit of data. Most recently, we came and the consultant came and shared the findings of the transportation, the cost of growth on the transportation project, looking at some scenarios as to, well, what would the impact be if we did an expansion? And clearly, that's a little bit of a dartboard exercise because we don't have everything dialed in, but we used the best information that we had to create a scenario that made sense with the givens that we know right now. And, you know, clearly there was a very hefty price tag that comes along with that kind of a process. The other thing, we've had our consultant that did our housing needs analysis kind of outlined a little bit of a path as to process and time frame and possible expense associated with the UGB expansion. Currently where we sit right now, we are doing a technical update to that housing needs analysis to try to incorporate those changes that we made through the planning program with the River Cherry Overlay District. So we're looking at having a more refined and realistic number that I'm hoping means we can adopt a housing needs analysis and buildable lands inventory sometime in the spring. But I think that at some point, and I know there's been some discussion of a future work session to kind of give an overarching view of where we're at. So I don't want to talk for too long, but I do believe that we've gotten a little bit along the way to a point where I think it's probably getting to that point in time where some decisions do need to be made at that policy level of how do we want to, what do we want to pursue? Because ultimately we have identified a couple of different paths and they are pretty diametrically opposed. And so I think that there's some issues that go along with just saying, okay, we want to expand and we're just going for it. But I also think there's some issues with saying, well, there's no way we ever want to expand. And, you know, there has to be some balance in the middle, but we have to kind of let the data drive what we're going to do as well. So, I mean, like I said, we have the update of the housing needs analysis happening right now, which I think will refine that number down. There's a question in my mind as to whether or not we need to be thinking about an updated visioning project, frankly. Our visioning project is over 10 years old. And, you know, as we all know, the community has changed some and the desires maybe have shifted. So, I definitely don't think we're ready to file a UGB amendment by any means, but I do think that we're much closer than we have been in the last 23 years of actually knowing whether or not it makes sense and what path we as the city wants to take as we chart forward. So I don't know if that's helpful or not, but that's what I've got.
Well, yeah, we kind of laid out where we're going to be having those very thoughtful and in-depth debates. Having worked for the last 4 years on housing and homelessness, and having two professionals on our city council that are in the housing and mortgage industry, we know that we have a significant deficit in housing, especially in the affordable housing category, for people who live here or who have jobs here to be able to afford to live in the same place. And I think that's going to drive a lot of the conversations. So I'm looking forward to diving into that and being able to push where we need to, because at the end of the day, I know we've done a lot of theoretical stuff, but we're talking about people being able to live and work in a community. And again, 2020 has been the great accelerator for work from home. And I think we're going to see a lot of permanent changes. So I'm excited to engage with all of you. I just made a note on my notes, work session. We're going to have some robust conversations, and then also the outreach, hearing from people who are very comfortable with the way things are, people who are very uncomfortable with the way things are, and how are we going to provide for our upcoming generation. So it's going to be a really good ride.
Yeah, so I'm hoping probably within this next year, we're going to tee that up for the new council. So that's going to be on, you know, that's going to be on our work plan, our work docket pretty quick here. So we're finally kind of just getting close to that. Shannon, do you have anything you want to add to that? I see your mute button is off, so it's almost like raising your hand.
No, I just forgot to turn it back on, Chris.
Oh, well, never mind then.
Thanks.
So, that's it for the short-term goals, Madam Mayor, unless there are questions. Councilor Herrera.
You know, I'm going to back up a bit to city staffing and levels of service. We had talked about, you know, and we're doing a pretty good job heading towards staff diversity. I get that. But in reference to, there's a lot of reference to work with leadership, or we can talk to leadership about this or that. And, you know, when you talk about leadership and diversity, we have to find a way to make the leadership diverse. I know it takes a process, I know it takes time, and I know in Kaiser, but when you talk about leadership, then we have to live up to dedication to inclusion, which is part of our, I'm kind of mixing two things here, but we have to think about that, how to not only bring them into the outside edges, but push them towards the middle, folks that have been around or things that we can improve in moving in that direction to make the staff look like the people we represent. We do a good job as far as having the folks that they're in the front lines and the ditches and stuff. But I think it's going to be important when we take that big step and have, when you refer to leadership, and that means it represents everybody. That's just my two cents. And I know we're headed that way though. So that's just my two cents on staffing levels. Thank you very much.
No, Councilor Kohler, did you raise your hand?
Was there somebody else who had a hand up? I didn't
see. Councilor Kohler had,
I did raise my hand. I guess, Councilor Herrera, I just had a question on that. Are you suggesting that we just do affirmative action to fill those things, or do you just feel like that we should get more applications from a more diverse population?
I'm not talking about affirmative action. I'm talking about accessibility to opportunity for opportunity. That's all I'm saying. I believe in merit, and I believe people have to earn their way to do things. I don't believe in lowering standards. I do believe in looking at certain barriers, like Shane said earlier, that have been systematic, barriers. But I think that in general, we're working towards the right thing. I'm not talking about affirmative action at all.
And one of the things that we talked about in our staffing and resourcing work session was about looking at how we do recruitment, retention, and promotion. And I know that that's ongoing. And we've been hearing some internal work that's going on in terms of position descriptions and requirements that are looking at what's necessary for the job and what is a barrier, either intended or in most cases unintended, that can be modified to be more accessible to more people. So I think that at that point, that work is actually happening in cities and counties across the nation. And it's exciting to be able to share that with other people and learn from their experiences as well. So these are some good conversations that are happening in the workplaces to that end. So that was actually one of our long-term goals, unless I'm reading the list incorrectly.
Well, our long-term goals and our short-term goals are kind of blended in a lot of areas. So complete Parks Master Plan, I think that we put that in there because we weren't sure what the timing would be on that. Transportation System Plan update, that's coming up. In Shane, when will TSP be coming up? Or Shane or Bill?
Yeah. Which one of you is? So, I mean, our intent is to be applying for the next round of grant funding available. Generally, doing a big project like a TSP update will be dependent on obtaining grant funding, however. So it's not like something that we have keyed up or queued, like ready to go, but it is definitely something that has been identified as being a high priority for us to embark upon. Frankly, there was some argument whether or not we should be applying last year and the year before, but because we have these other projects that were happening, we really needed to wait to work through those so that now we can incorporate some of those changes that have been identified. So we kind of know what the baseline is moving forward. So, I mean, fingers crossed, but I'm hoping that we will have some ability to get that project going in the next year or two. But, you know, a TSP update is a big project. I mean, it'd be probably an 18-month to two-year project to get it completed. But that's kind of what I view as being, it's a high priority for us, but it will depend on if it becomes a high priority from the state level to obtain that funding. So,
okay. We've talked about the UGB. That's, hopefully in the next year, but I don't know a completion date on that. I mean, to some extent, part of the problem is with that is if the council decides and the community decides, let's go for it. We're going to do this. We know it's going to cost a bunch. Let's make it happen. There actually isn't a path to do that currently in terms of, the legal world and how we would go about it. So we'd be groundbreakers to some extent. So I don't know how long that would take. I don't know what that path looks like. It may be legislative. It's very hard to tell. So, you know, it's one of those where it's sort of a little bit, it's a big kind of scary project. So, Shane?
I was just going to say, you know, that was actually one of the things that Nate and I had asked our housing needs analysis and buildable lands inventory consultant, Echo Northwest, to kind of address. And basically that Bob Parker is kind of one of the preeminent land use guys in the state of Oregon. And he basically put it at probably like a 7 to 10 year process in order to have actual land ready to be building on. With knowing what we know, because essentially it would require, with the current legislative, the way it's set up right now, it would require us essentially removing ourselves from Salem first, and there would be a process we'd have to go through, probably some mediation, whether or not it's even possible. We did get some formal guidance from DLCD on that a while back. And I think Nate had shared that with you guys probably last year sometime or even before. But yeah, it definitely, Mr. Effler, is definitely a long range kind of process to actually accomplish that. It's not as simple as, like, you know, giving notice to DLCD, hey, we're expanding our UGB, and, you know, 2 months later we have some hearings and we're good to go. It definitely is not that style of process.
Yeah. So, and then the last long-term goal is city staffing levels and developing a plan. Like you mentioned, we're working on that right now. We're developing core values for the organization. We're looking at job descriptions and figuring out how to remove barriers. And, you know, Councilor Herrera is right. These things take time, but we, as a leadership team, recognize the fact that we need to become a more diverse group, and, you know, we'll get there. So that's what I've got for short and long-term goals.
Well, one thing I want to back up a little bit, and for our incoming counselors, Shane, would you send them a copy of that divorce white paper? It was kind of a divorce 101. What would it take to separate out and establish our own urban growth boundary separate from Salem? It's not DLCD's favorite topic, but since we are the only Siamese twins in the state, by definition, anything that we do regarding our urban growth boundary is going to be unique. But hey, it's Kaiser. That's what we do. So it's going to be a heavy lift, both in terms of the technical work, but also in terms of where our community wants to go. I was just talking to a resident this weekend who said, yeah, they're looking at moving because Kaiser's just too big, but they want to be in a town of less than 1,000 or something like that. So, you know, from that person's point of view, Kaiser is very urban. And then I talked to other people where Kaiser is very, you know, suburban or, you know, just so small and quaint and cute. So it really depends on the point of view that you have. But part of that visioning is going to be all of us, and then the broader us of all 40,000 people of Kaiser having that conversation about what does this look like and how do we do that to create that plan going forward. But to actually get to land to build on when we've got people who can't get housing, and that's the drum I'm going to be beating, then something's wrong with the system. So that's going to be something very interesting to tackle. Councillor Parsons, is your hand up? You're just stretching. Got it. So that was kind of a romp through the goals that we had for this biennium. And current councillors, comments on what we've been through this last couple of years with the extra added challenges that we encountered this year of the COVID pandemic and the Sandy and wildfires.
And the Russian hacking of our...
Yes.
Let's not forget about that. I know Tim wants to forget about that, but we can't forget about that because we learned a lot there too.
So, yeah, our systems are more robust now, aren't they?
They are. It has been a challenge. It has been probably the most challenging year of my entire career, with just the vast number of things happening all at once, massive change, and still trying to accomplish things. It's been very difficult.
Yeah. Madam Mayor.
Council President Freeman.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I think the thing that I guess I would just encourage the council to keep doing is we have our, you know, long range budget planning meeting that we usually have February. You know, I know there's a certain time frame we have to have it, but we've moved it up to actually have some planning conversation prior to the staff going into budget season, which I know we're usually, you know, have lots of wishes and we don't have the finances to, you know, have our wishes come true. But I think the thing that I appreciate is we've backed that up so we can actually have some conversations to see if potentially some things may come to fruition in the budget. And I think over the last few years, we've been more proactive of having those discussions. And I'm going to use the staffing as the example. You know, I know, you know, Chris may have thoughts and I think the council has thoughts, but I think we have finally come together to have some good conversations between, you know, Chris and the council on really what those staffing levels look like. And, you know, the council then has to make the tough decisions on, you know, how do we get those additional funds? Right now we have the parks fee and the police fee, right? And, you know, what it looks like. And Mayor, you've been behind that as well, is, you know, we are growing and are, and if we need staffing, we have to figure out, you know, how we pay for that. And so I think we're doing just a much better job, you know, at being proactive and really, you know, doing some long range or forward thinking. And not that we were ever reactive, in my opinion, but sometimes I think government is more reactive than proactive. And I think that we've come a long ways, and I hope that we continue as a council and staff to really keep saying, you know, this is what I need, and this is, you know, this helps us, like, you know, the HR system, right? We spent $15,000 or maybe less to get an HR system, which will help our staff immensely, you know, versus hiring a person. And granted, I would love to hire someone, but we know it was cheaper to do this. And it's, you know, those kind of things we need to look at to really stretch our resources. So again, I just commend the staff for really doing some of that hard work and bringing it to council so we get to make the hard decisions. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Counselors, perspectives on these last couple of years, these goals or other things that we accomplished or that you would like to wish we had been able to do more with? I'm going to put one more in there that, you know, when we were talking about the community outreach and so forth, last council meeting, we passed our resolution of justice, equity, diversity, and inclusion. One of the most challenging conversations we've had for us individually, for us collectively, and for the community, that got passed. And I wanted to say thank you to all of you and to our community members who engaged in that conversation and will be a part of what this looks like in action going forward. It was difficult work and absolutely worth it. So I just want to say a big thank you to that.
The only thing I'll mention for the new counselors is that there will be an actual goal setting session probably in February after the new council is installed. So this is simply just a snapshot of last 2 years. This is what we've been working on. This is how far we came. You know, some of these goals are aspirational. In the future, I'd like to see our goals a little less aspirational and more concrete, you know, where we know they can be accomplished. Things that are more aspirational should be on a different kind of system, a work plan or something else that's ongoing, continually evolving, and that you keep in front of you year after year. But anyway, that's what I have for you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Councilor Kohler.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. It wasn't a written goal for our council, but I had a personal goal not to let any more youth that wanted to do a service project for our community to go to other cities because the financing was not available here. And I feel that that was a great accomplishment that we were able to do that. We've saved a lot of money for our city. Look at the work that was done on the gazebo recently. We've had several projects out at Kaiser Rapids Park that would not have come to fruition at all without that. So want to appreciate the support of the Parks Board and getting that change made so that we can help our youth do things for our community rather than having to go somewhere else.
I agree. I think that's something definitely put on the list of accomplishments for you and for the Parks Board. Yeah, if anybody hasn't looked at the gazebo since that project was accomplished, wow, it's beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And the benches that are in the Jerry and Peggy Moore Community Garden, beautiful restoration project on those and on and on. Thank you. That's a great one to add to the list of things that we're happy to have done. Councilor Herrera.
One of the, to me, a great accomplishment, and it was born right here in this city of Kaiser. We recently had our Color Caucus elections. We've elected our officers. And I'm really proud to say that Kaiser was the first city in the state of Oregon to approve a resolution in support of the Color Caucus. And it was followed by Hillsborough, Hermiston, well, Albany, and one, no, it wasn't Albany, I'm misquoting, but those four other that followed our lead, I actually sent them our resolution. And that's I'm very proud of the accomplishment because we went on to create the, after 20 months of work, by the way, we went on to create the Oregon's first Color Caucus. And it has, you know, just so you guys know, now that I'm on the board of the LOC, one of the commitments that they have made with me, and I kind of laughed because Chris said sort of something like this, a mayor from Forest Grove, I can't remember his first name. Kathy. Yeah, he's something else. But he told me, you know, they came from this diversity stuff training, and he goes, we're a bunch of old white men and we need to really walk the walk. And now that we've done our exclusivity, we have to walk the walk. We have to show that. And I know we will, because I know Kaiser, and I really believe that we keep pushing forward. Other caucuses coming following our model, and I'm really proud that we did had the support of this council. So we started something really big that's going to go forever. So thank you very much. I appreciate it. I marked that as one of our biggest accomplishments. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Thank you. Councilor Kohler.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. We also had quite a few projects completed in our parks, which probably would be worth mentioning. Just the skate park was a huge project that really I haven't heard much about, but I see the kids using it all the time. There were several parks that got new playground equipment. So there was a ton of work done in the parks that really should be mentioned.
Wallace House Park, huge renovation there and you know, claimed a lot of additional ground for use there, et cetera. So yeah, absolutely.
Oh, and the charge house, having that taken out and that ground is now open and available. That was a big project. We've gotten a lot of mileage out of the park's fee, and a lot of it had to do with Robert Johnson and his crew doing fantastic work, extracting the value from every single penny. And then a lot of public input through the Parks Board and the leadership there that wanted to hear from people what needs to be done. And our parks were very much needed this year as that outdoor space for people to be and kind of get back into reality in light of all the 2020 strangeness, and having our parks ready for people to be outside safely and in a healthy manner could not have been better timed. So thank you, Councilor Kohler. That was that's a great add to the list for this last 2 years. Absolutely. Councilor Kohler.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Just one small thing, and I'll just probably shut up the rest of the meeting, but for us doing the bare minimum this last 2 years, we sure accomplished a heck of a lot of great things.
Not bad. All right. Anything else that you would like to reflect on that we have accomplished over these last couple of years? Now that you've mentioned the fee, I do want to mention with our police. I really appreciated the comments during our different work sessions from our chief of police about the efforts made to continually improve on and emphasize justice for all people in our community. And we've been successful in being able to recruit and hire tremendous new police officers and staff who are really interested in being part of a police department that is proactive, that is interested in actively pursuing justice. So in our last recruitment, having 31 good applicants to choose from, it says a lot about the quality of the work that's happening here. And by us being able to support that work with sustained funding through the police fee, we're going to be able to make sure that those positions are retained, and the people who are hired into those positions, they can continue to work on the benefit on the behalf of all the people in the community. So I'd like to add that to the list of accomplishments over the last couple of years. Other thoughts from current counselors, and then I'm going to look at our incoming counselors. If you have any questions or comments and perspectives that you gained, especially during the campaign. All right, I'm not seeing any of the current counselors with additional. So counselors-elect Ross Day and Kyle Duran, we are excited for you coming on board in January. Any questions, thoughts, reflections on some of the things we've been discussing this evening? I'm looking at both of your Zoom pictures. They're about this big.
I just want to say that, you know, looking at the, you know, all the different activities that you guys had worked on over the last year or 2 years, that it seems like, you know, you got quite a bit accomplished. And then with all of the new stuff that popped up this year, it just seems like things worked rather well to, you know, you worked through things quite well, from my opinion. You know, talking with people during the campaign, you know, a lot of people don't really understand what the city council does and what, you know, what they really accomplished. But when you look at these objectives and the stuff that did get accomplished, you know, there's quite a bit that people can be proud of that happened here in Kaiser, along with the, you know, the new things with the parks. You know, probably that was probably the most that people that I talked to had seen of improvements was parks. You know, people still complained about, you know, paying the money for the parks and the police, but they were happy to see some accomplishments with that. So, you know, it's nice that there is something that people can be proud of here in Kaiser and that they do see. That's just all that I had.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. The number one thing that I heard was the number, and it wasn't even really a close second, was parks. That was the number one concern on everyone's mind was parks, and in particular the Little League fields. And it wasn't, I mean, I would go door to door, and when people would actually stop to answer and talk to me, that's what they wanted to talk about. But the other issue, of course, is expanding the urban growth boundary. Those were by far and away the two issues that I got asked the most about and was seemed to me to be on everyone's mind.
The other thing I would like to add here, because along with our urban growth boundary and housing and so forth, what I hear a lot about, and maybe because I've been doing this work now for 4 years, I'm a relative newcomer, is homelessness. When we have people in our community who are homeless or housing insecure, we see people camping on ODOT right-of-way, and we know that the needs have been great, and then the pandemic hit. And it has been challenging, difficult, and yet extremely gratifying to see that the work done over the last 4 years with the Mid-Willamette Valley, the Homeless Initiative, that is now the Homeless Alliance, and a reestablished continuum of care for Marion and Polk counties. When the pandemic hit, all of the agencies, nonprofits, service providers, and faith community all knew each other. They all know who to call. They knew how to collaborate together because the strategic plan that we have for our alliance already had laid the groundwork. And it was a very quick, difficult, but rapid pivot to yes, and how can we take care of some of the most medically vulnerable people in our community? And because of that, I can tell you for a fact, lives were saved. Not only physically, as people were moved into safe housing and began to receive services that they had prior to that said no to, there are many of our chronically vulnerable community members who were homeless are now housed. They have said yes to moving into permanent supportive housing. Redwood Crossing, which is one of our the new facilities now open, is 80% full. And it's with people who prior to this were surviving on the streets. They are now in a place where they are safe. They are receiving services, both for their mental health, physical health, emotional health, and their lives were saved. And Kaiser, City Council, your support for being part of this larger alliance saved lives this year. I have been so thankful with every single board meeting I attend, with every time I meet with a community leader, where they talk about together we were able to provide meals, provide clothing, respond quickly to the needs of people in the canyon when the San Diego fire hit. They were able to work with different agencies to open up housing, the duration shelters that were a huge question mark a year ago are now open. Safe Sleep, United Way, in partnership, open. So many places now are able to make a significant difference that's sustainable in the lives of some of the most difficult and complex human needs that people have in our community. And you've been part of that. You've been a real part, a big part of it. And I am so thankful that we said yes to making sure that we stayed with it. And we are seeing the benefits now every single day. More projects are coming online. The Sequoia Crossing is going to construction. There's a veteran housing that's going to construction across from the construction project for the YMCA in downtown. The Union Gospel Mission is on track and under budget to toward completion in the spring, and on and on. And Kaiser, I love you guys. You're amazing. So that to me is one of the big things that we've been able to be a part of, and it's bigger than ourselves. And but we've said yes to trying things that hadn't been tried in our community before. And when COVID hit, boy, did we get a payoff. And then the fires hit and we got that payoff again. Councillor Smith just turned the camera off, but a big shout out there. I want to thank every one of you on City Council, on city staff and our community. The way you stepped up this year, not just in the immediate, but you're in it for the long haul with our neighbors in the canyon. And I was at the tree lighting yesterday in Detroit, and Dave Wallery, Mr. Christmas, was there. Guess who strung the lights? Of course it was Dave. But you've all had something to do with making sure that our neighbors know that they weren't abandoned after the rush of the initial response. They know that you are going to continue to be there for our entire community in the canyon as they put their lives back together. And Kaiser, you're part of that. So I think that's a huge thank you for all of the work you've done this year in this crazy, wild 2020. So that's kind of a recap of where we've been in the last couple of years. Kind of sets the table for where we're going to. Oh, Councillor Smith says she's having a battery issue. I get that. We have a lot of work ahead of us in this next biennium. And I want to take a moment to thank Councillor Parsons, former council president, Council President Freeman for the tremendous work that you two have been doing. We'll have the formal thank yous in January, but looking over these goals, you've both played a significant role in the development and the accomplishments, both of this biennium, but your entire careers on City Council. And to the both of you, I wanna say a huge thank you for your service. You've made a difference that's gonna last. So thank you. Is there anything else that questions on what we've been doing, where you see things going? All right. Well, I think this has been a good introduction for our councilors-elect, and thank you, council, for all of you, your input on the goals that we've been working on, some that were thrust upon us. And I think in the next biennium, we're going to be able to continue this work moving forward and build on what we've been doing over the last couple of years. Council or city manager, staff, is there anything else for the good of the order this evening?
Once again, welcome to the new councilors, and everybody be safe and eat a lot of tamales. You know why I buy tamales for my grandkids, don't you? Because that way they can have some to unwrap. You didn't hear that. You didn't hear that from me. Okay. Sorry, guys.
Always good stuff. All right. Y'all be safe out there. And the time is 7:12, and we are adjourned. Thank you all.